You gonna record in real time, Lori? You gonna record this in real time? I'm sorry, I...
Lori was wearing that. Lillian was on vacation.
Okay.
She's going to be our regular one.
But Lori will be here when Lillian is.
If you rush, I'll get another.
Is there anyone who hasn't signed in, who's supposed to sign in?
Thank you very much. Looks pretty good.
Is this your first meeting?
No, I've come a couple of times before, but I've only been in this position for 2 months. I'm still...
One more to go.
What, anybody else need to sign in?
Maybe you'll get enough time to talk this time.
I know, okay, anybody can... Oh, these are nice. They stand up. My apologies. Richard and I both got caught in the sale load on the 110. Couldn't do anything about it. I don't fly well. Good afternoon. I'm Nancy Person. I'm chair of this committee, and I represent Los Angeles Valley College.
Elliot Ashelban, I represent West LAC, and my president is here of West LAC.
Who wishes to be called by Neil?
And I'm vice chair of this committee.
Hi, I'm Don Seducci. I represent East Los Angeles College.
And you're a new member.
Yes.
And we're happy to have you.
Thank you.
Nabil Abu Ghazali, president of West Los Angeles.
Dan Swartz, taxpayer representative.
Hello, I'm Dan Lavista, the district chancellor.
I'm Val Smith, here as representative.
Richard Swanson, at large representative.
Henry Porter, Southwest College.
Lulu Masariegos from the district office.
Tom Hall, executive director of facility planning and development for the district. Anybody else want to introduce themselves?
Go ahead. I'm Mona Field, a member of the board. In the days before the chancellor attended, it seemed nice to have a board member. I'm not so sure it's so important now, but I thank you for everything you're doing.
I'm Camille Duley. I'm the general counsel for the district.
I'm Yaya Siddiqui with Ben LACC.
And I'm Mona Barber. I'm clients with Build LACCD.
Any others? Eva Holmes is
right there.
Here.
She'll be going in.
Then we'll welcome you in next time when Henry leaves us. And I'm very happy to have you in.
But I think this is a great process. You're coming here in advance to observe what goes on. It sort of passes on some knowledge that may be useful to you.
The wisdom of Miss Henry.
Thank you.
We're going to miss Henry. He's my keep me honest person. As I read through the minutes and some other things, as many of you did, and I'm going to have approval of that, it dawned on me that there are some things, committees that I said I'd like to set up, and I haven't done anything about it. So I just made up a sign-up type thing, And so the first one I'm going to pass around is a handbook committee. And it only needs one or two people, but what do we need to put into a handbook for us? And we should be able to accomplish that at the most in 1 to 2 meetings. I have some ideas. I know I've been struggling to figure out what I'm doing and what are the rules I need to abide by and everything else. And I think that maybe we need one so that we have one to give to people. So I would expect it to be a duration of 1 to 2 meetings and whatnot. And if anyone would like to sign up for it, I'm going to pass that one around. The other one that we were looking at was, what's left me? Anybody else has any ideas, please interrupt me. The one, and I don't know if you want to do it, Richard, the form for colleges to report. Do you want your committee to work on the one for colleges, how each college will prepare their report for the meetings?
Sure.
So I'll give it to your committee then to do that one. But the handbook was just off the top of my head. I don't know if anybody else feels a need for one. You're welcome to say, you know, forget that, it's not important. But we're getting a majority of new members coming in the next month. And I think it's important we think about what do we need to know to do our jobs. Do I have any public speakers that need to give me cards? Approval of the minutes. Minutes of August 26th. I believe you had a lot of some suggestions or changes, Elliot.
Yes, and I sent them in. I don't know if they were included in this latest version. Probably not.
Your phone copy is not a good thing to put you in your mind to see what you need to. Why don't you make comments on what yours are? And basically, it doesn't have a bad printing, but you can get enough of this still work. You didn't fix this, did you, Lily, right?
Yeah, Lillian.
Lillian is our new recorder for this meeting. We've already worn out green in one meeting. they were not even. No, no, because we received the revisions yesterday.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is the.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think there are copies here to be handed out. With my comments.
Does anyone else want copies of these?
My comments are in red. If you want me to go through them, I can. If you'll accept them as is, I don't know how you want to do that.
Given that it's my first time, I'll be basing your decision on that.
Okay, the first one is on page 2. The DOC will be informed when public reports are issued. The next was on page 3.
Because I believe that was said at the meeting, that's why I'm including it.
And then on
page 3, the next one, I'll pick it up if you want to discuss it, is there's a reference, if you're following me, to a Mr. John Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And people would want to know who that person is and what he said, and that's not in the minutes.
Okay.
And the second is on the bottom of page 3. I just added some notes about what you said that were in my notes that were not in the minutes. So when it's expansion, if anybody disagrees with the comments I'm making, please do so now, because otherwise I think we should incorporate these.
Well, I don't think on the first one, it doesn't matter.
Say which one, the first one. Say which one is the first one.
The first thing on page 2.
Okay.
I agree that it was said. That was said, but I don't remember who it was either. But I don't think it's important who said it.
Okay, I disagree with you. I think if the minutes are to be accurate, the people who are making comments should be identified, especially.
Is anybody one up to making that comment?
Why, didn't we have a kind of a round table discussion about that? I thought it was a broader discussion than just a comment.
This is what I captured. Okay, so if you think I didn't.
I think I talked about it.
Several of us did.
Right.
I think it was agreed that we would be getting that information when it went public.
Well, I guess the point is, if it happened at the meeting, if we agree to it, it should be in the minutes.
Well, you're right.
Okay. So that was my point. The other point I think you're making is we shouldn't identify people who make comments. I think if there's significant comments, we should. Do we want to discuss that now? Oh, you think it was a general discussion? Is that your point?
Yeah.
All right, then.
The conversation took place for 30 minutes or more.
Okay, so let's strike then the identification of a person because.
And that's the top part.
That's page two. That's page two. Can't recall who said it. Just take it off because a lot of people said it. Continuing now on the top of page three, I skipped this before. There is a discussion of what Ms. Merez said and things that followed it, but the content of the discussion is missing. If people record that, my notes are not significant. The content should be part of the minutes. What was said, not this, just that there was a discussion. The second is on the top of page three is a comment that was made that I think is important. And the speaker, identifying the speaker is important. I'm not saying I agree with it, but the minutes should reflect what was said. On the bottom of page three, Mr. Walsh, I said that we should identify who he is and what he said. On the bottom of page, the very bottom of page three, I believe I've just added detail that was said, but not captured in the minutes. The same is true on the top of four. And I think it's very important, the comments that she made, to be reflected in the minutes, so that's why I've added them. If anybody disagrees with this having been said, please speak up.
I don't remember the FBI investigation that I made. Have they lost?
That was actually made several times by the speakers. There's going to be an FBI investigation.
Yeah.
And again, I think the minutes should reflect
that's
what
fine.
Happens at the meeting, not mm-hmm. necessarily
the,
saying that.
Professor, your election, who's it? Said that?
Excuse me?
Oh.
Several people from Vandekamp said that.
Vandekamp Coalition. There will be probably
an FBI investigation. I believe I heard one of the guest speakers say
yes.
According to the VTK speakers.
I don't know which speaker it was.
I believe two of them did. So anyway, I just want the minutes
to go back to the recording.
Yeah, you can go back to the recording, right, to confer these things.
Just for clarification, if somebody really wants to delve into the history, every word is still, I can say, on tape.
I agree.
Old technology, but so that the history is still there.
So you can verify the fact that these things were said, but I think they were significant. That's why
okay.
I'm.
We'll go over the recording.
Okay. It says then in the middle of page four, there's a bunch of documents that are listed, okay, and they're listed in the general, you know, summary of agreed recommendations. So if somebody wanted to review this, I think they would need the date and the author of those documents and an indication as to where they could be found. And to make the minutes complete, I'm suggesting that that be our practice.
Okay.
Page five, again, just detail things that were said but that were not captured in the minutes. And that's it. And I'm sorry that I didn't get these to you earlier.
That's okay. You're out of town.
That's true, too.
Are there any other additions or corrections to the minutes of the...
I'll make a general comment with regards to that. In business, okay, in my experience, the legal people do not want a lot of data, detailed information in the minutes of a board meeting because it's legally protected by counsel that's there. So, in private business, okay.
We are not a private business. We are an oversight
so
committee.
We have counsel that, you know.
We're still not a private.
This is totally every word we utter in here is totally open.
Yeah, it's
totally
a public meeting and a certain amount of accountability.
Good and we're responsible to the citizens.
This
and we
is
are
Jane.
Supposed to be transparent.
I'm sorry.
Right, the citizens of the district.
I'm sure in my experience.
Yeah. Right.
Well, business and this is public, and part of the criticism says have our minutes really reflected what's going on, whether it's justified or not. That's part of the public opinion. I have no trouble with our minutes being other than it takes me forever to read them.
But, you know, we certainly agree with these investigations that have been going on. I think even more so, the minutes should be very detailed to show the public that there's an earnest searching for a way to resolve these crises that have arisen for the Board of Trustees.
But any member of the public can go to the website and listen to our meeting.
Yeah, but I was going to sit and listen. I mean, if they want to read minutes, they have a right to get a good overview of what transpired without listening to God knows how long.
I think your key word there is overview. That is, you know, how much detail. Do you want to have this verbatim for what's on tape?
If we want to have it verbatim, we can do that too. This is no one you
this is verbatim.
Well, there's a difference between a transcript and minutes.
Right.
Minutes are a general discussion of what occurred at a meeting. A transcript is the word by word, and I would think it would be overburdensome to have the entire transcript of the meeting done each time. I think these minutes have reflected closely to what happened, especially with your addition.
And that was the intent.
Okay.
I would move that we accept the minutes from the 26th.
Second. Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Clarification, are you moving to acceptance with the
changes? With the change, with the changes as discussed.
Okay. Just be clear.
Okay. And now the minutes of...
Don't we have to have a vote on that?
Yeah. All those in favor? Thank you.
Aye.
All those
abstain.
Opposed? Abstaining. And two abstaining. Thank you. Jaden Redkin came in. He's a student representative. He was unable to be at the last meeting and has to be excused. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm fashionably late. I just got out of the Student Affairs Committee, so that takes a little bit to get across the way. But thank you, and I'm really, really happy and very glad that you advocated for me to the Board of Trustees in approving my appointment here, and I'm glad to serve with all of you guys on this committee. Sorry that I wasn't here last time. I was in Washington, D.C. I did email our chair about that, so...
We knew that was explained.
Thank you. I try and be very good about communication with people and my duties, so thank you.
Welcome to the board.
The one thing that I do need to mention, though, on the agenda, you have my name missing the S on my last name.
Yes.
I just do want that corrected.
Redkins?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry to make that so public.
That's all right. That's what we need. I'm Carlson all the time on agendas. All right. The minutes of September 30th. It was a meeting that we really didn't have a forum, a lot of discussion. Is there anybody has any additions, corrections, or whatnot to these minutes?
Move they be approved.
Second.
There's been a motion for approval and a second. All those in favor of these minutes being approved?
Aye.
All those not in favor? All of those abstaining?
Abstain.
1, 2, abstaining. And let me see what our count is right now. 8, 9, 10. The gentleman who just walked off, I loved him. I offer my apologies. I know you're a new member, but I don't know who you are.
He's unpacked. Give him a moment.
Sorry.
Could you please introduce yourself?
Okay, hi. I'm Terry Anderson. I'm representing Los Angeles Valley College.
Oh, we're happy to have you with us.
Thank you.
As the people around the table are realizing, we have new members coming in. We still have 3 vacant slots that will be coming in the next meeting. And so we're going to have a majority of people. You don't have to be responsible for what happened before you. I thank you very much, Mr. Anderson, for agreeing to assume this position. All right, the minutes have been approved. The next order of business is the approval of the bylaws that were given out at the last meeting, but there was not a quorum to accept them.
Camille would be just fine.
Okay, Camille, would you like to begin?
No, I'll stand. you know, from time to time I review board rules or administrative regulations and things like that, and sometimes I discover that one hasn't caught up with the other, and that, oh well. So when we find it, we move to fix it. Your bylaws are actually subject to the approval of the chancellor, ultimately, but we do put them in front of you. The board rules take priority or precedence over the bylaws, and the board had changed the board rules to add a couple of things that we had never gone back and reconciled with your bylaws. And so I just did that and a couple of cleanup things and some proposed changes for your bylaws. And a couple of things are just cleanup things, and it's also the reconciliation with the existing board rules. So with that, and I guess probably the most important thing is the addition on page 6 of the bylaws, which is the addition of the board rule provision that allows this committee to vote to ask for a special investigation of some kind. And that was added to the bylaws, and certainly the committee was, I mean, that was added to the board rules, and certainly the committee was advised of it at the time, but we didn't put it back in your bylaws, and it seems like that ought to be there since it's one of your governing documents.
When was that change to the rules made?
To the
rules made, which are reflected now in the changes to the bylaws.
Probably in December of 2009, that was added to the board rules. So 2 years ago.
It's the last thing that was issued.
Yeah, if you in your notebook of materials behind tab, in your materials, you were provided attachment 4, which is the board rules. And on page 4 of the board rules at the bottom, you'll see the board rule that is the basis for the addition to the bylaws that's on page 6 of the bylaws. Only a lawyer can love this stuff. Jaden, are you going to turn out to be a pre-law?
Oh, yeah, actually, I did want to be an attorney.
That's so. Okay. That's okay. That's good. What can I answer for you?
When were these changes made?
If you look at this attachment, the date is on.
Yeah. Okay. In attachment 4, you'll see the board rules that relate to this body. And you'll notice that it's our practice in the district to, when the board rule is listed, to identify the date it was adopted or amended. So at the bottom of page 4 of the bylaws, you'll see rule 17006 was adopted December 16th, 2009. And the committee was advised, certainly made aware of it at the time, but it didn't occur to anybody to go back and put it into your committee bylaws in addition to having it in the board rules. So it's always been available to you, just was stated in both places. Any other questions I can answer on this?
Oh, a comment. And that is, and I made this formally before, if you go to page 2, and if you look at, or as I look at,
page 2 of which?
Page 2 of the bylaws. Okay, sorry.
Page 2 of the bylaws.
Yeah, and if you go to C and D.
3 C and D,
thank you. And it's actually, C, actually, 3C. I find it very vague because I don't know what's being referred to. It says, the chancellor will make recommendations to the board in accordance with a process determined by the board.
It's for department of members.
It's true, but I want a reference to the process. I'd like to, you know, if this process does exist in writing, it should be referenced. If it's an ongoing thing that can change all the time, then something should be said that this process is not really a written process, but a variable process that may change at any time.
Yeah. I think that the major I'm with you, except that the major motivation is that this committee doesn't tell the board how to make the board's appointments.
Okay.
So that was why
now it takes more than a lawyer. It's an informed lawyer to know that.
Yeah, so it says a process determined by the board because, of course, we defer to the board to make its own determination about whether to have a perennial process or something that changes or what.
Well, I understand the reasoning. I still find the document unsatisfactory because it's vague. Can there be an explanation, a footnote?
There isn't. The board does not have an express written process other than the board rules that you have in attachment four.
And that would be terrific if you would add that.
Well, I don't know.
Well, but it doesn't. The attachment four, it doesn't really specify.
It's not in here.
The board rules don't really address the mechanism for a recommendation to be of people to be reviewed.
Suppose you got a license from the state of California to drive a car.
Yes.
And it said the maximum speed in this kind of a district is as determined by the legislature of the state of California. What would you do with that? And then you further found out that this is not a specific thing written anywhere but could change at any time. At least you want to be notified of that, wouldn't you?
That's what the signs are for on the side of the road.
That's true. There is no sign on the side of this document.
That's true, but there may be signs in the board's other materials. But the board's materials may change, but that isn't for this committee to determine. That's for the board's materials.
No, the board, I just would like to be informed.
Thank you.
Of what the underlying board's process is.
And if the board adopts something
Everything is a living document. Everything is amended.
Right.
That's always the case.
If the board adopts something that's written, I'll tell you.
Okay, I'd like to see a change in this document. Does anybody agree with me?
But this document, though, has to be based on this.
Correct.
And this does not have, the board rules does not have it.
But what I'm asking to be added is not in conflict with this document. It's just an explanation of what this means.
You want a footnote?
Footnote would be fine.
And the footnote would say what?
That there is no written process and the process can change at any time.
Well, there are no written processes.
Well, since I would come back to this committee to change bylaws, I'm not sure that that's a good choice. But you could certainly have the minutes reflect that I told you there's no written process at this time.
Fine, I'll take that as a concession.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yes.
About the bylaws, and this might be a little trivial just because I'm kind of new, but under C, for
could you
membership,
refer us to a page?
Yes, it's page 3 of 8. C, general qualifications, number 4, elected officials.
Right.
This might be trivial, but I'm elected by my student body to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, make sure that. Sorry about that. No, no, I sometimes don't like that.
Most of us that are
looking for a way out.
No.
Therefore, you don't pay the official tax.
That's why I said it was kind of trivial. Right?
Nope.
Can I move that we accept these changes to the bylaws?
You certainly can. Does anyone have a second, please?
Second.
2 seconds. All of those in favor?
Aye.
All of those opposed? All of those who are not voting? All right, I guess it's unanimous. Thank you very much. I know it's housekeeping, but housekeeping is necessary. This is one of the documents that I want to go in the handbook for 2 sets of them so people know what it is they're supposed to do, among other things.
Is Camille on the handbook committee?
She will be.
She is now.
She's expecting that.
Okay. If anybody doesn't think we should have a handbook, I need to hear from you. I'm working on my own needs.
I think it's a great idea.
So I don't want to feel like somebody said something pushed down their throat that they don't want. It's for Camille to sign. All right.
Did we have a vote on the acceptance of the amendments?
Yes.
We just did.
It was unanimous. You didn't know you voted.
So you voted.
you didn't oppose it. You didn't not vote. Reginald, thank you very much for being here. This is his last meeting. I'm pretty appreciative of being here. And I love that purple tie. The University of Washington loves purple.
I'm a Trojan, so we...
I know, but you're wearing the white colors.
Yes, I am.
Inspector General report. Christine, did you have something for us?
Sean, good standard.
So today I want to bring forth the audit that you should have a copy of in your package. It's the audit that we performed on the selection of construction contractors. Attachment 6. This audit was, I'll give you a little background. When we created the first year work plan, this was one of the audits that we wanted to do in light of a lot of allegations that were being received about the bond program that, because, as an example, because contractors gave a lot of money in campaign donations, therefore there was something that we needed to look at regarding how we selected construction contractors. So this audit was a priority to do. We looked at two procurement methods that are being used to select construction contractors. The first is they're both formal bid procurements. One was sort of what you would be used to would be the sealed bid process where contractors submit sealed bids, they're opened at the same time, evaluated, and it goes to the lowest responsive bidder. That's called design bid build. The second procurement process is our design build process, which we have 34 projects that we've awarded to date from the bond program have been through the design build procurement. And that process is a longer three-step type process where there's a selection committee involved and they evaluate proposals submitted by a design build team, which includes the architect who does the design in conjunction with the construction contractor. Because of the nature of the design-build process, there are a lot more steps in evaluating, and you don't award on low bid. You award on the best value as determined by the districts and how it weights the evaluations and how the selection committee gives a score through a three-step process to come up with the award for the design-build team.
And the value criteria are or are not announced in advance as part of the RFP?
They are announced in advance and they are included in the RFP with the percentage of the weights that are applied to each and every project.
What fraction of the award is subjective?
Subjective by which you mean that the selection committee can actually vote on?
No, or in other words, they can only be interpreted by people. It doesn't say which is the lowest weight, which can be measured. It says which is the prettiest building, which is subjective.
I would say the majority of the...
best value.
The majority of the categories are subjective. Okay. Other than price, which is scored by the program management team based on here's the prices and there's a value attributed and it's not, it doesn't get voted on.
And in the first thing, which is the standard sort of bidding thing, but you're bidding to someone else's design.
Yes.
It's a build thing. What is acceptability? What is the power of the criteria of acceptability? In other words, you take the lowest cost acceptable bid. Are the criteria for acceptability in the RFP?
Yes.
And are they, what fraction of them, if any, are subjective?
On the silk bid process?
Yes.
I would say that nothing was subjective on that.
Thank you.
Except the entire design process preceding that is, in effect, subjective.
Well, except that you design to a certain criteria, and then there's an estimate that establishes what you advertise for. Yes. Okay. So
may I?
Oh, absolutely.
Interrupt for just a second. I can speak for Harbor, but I can't speak for other colleges. When a building was anticipated to be on campus, we went to design build because it's more efficient. When it was decided, for example, that a new learning center was going, or I'll use a building, a new science building was going to go up, and this is for people who aren't on campuses, the people who will be using that building form a committee to say these are the things that are most important that go into that building. They list their criteria. This is the amount of space we think we are going to need. This is the kind of technical support in the rooms that we would... And it starts out as a wish list. They know they're not going to get everything. But there's things on it that says, this is what we would want from this building to meet the needs of the students and to meet the needs of the community. And it goes through a vetting process of maybe six times of meeting and putting together and taking back.
After that point in time, then they will meet with an architect and then share their process, get feedback and forth, and a design will come up. Then it goes out so that there is a process that does not start from the president saying, I want a science building and this is what's going to be in it. Some colleges may do it that way, but most of the colleges that I'm familiar with indeed have those who are going to be the owners of that building, the users of their building, saying what is most important and what are the final decisions. Now, all of you may know that, but some people may not know that. So, by the way, any committee member that's sitting here that says, what does that abbreviation mean or what is that, put up your hand and ask, because otherwise you may get lost in the discretion. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I
No, not at all. So this audit looked at two criteria for how we audited. One was to find that there was reasonable assurance in the samples taken that the district and the bond program complied with not only its own policies, but with all the statutory requirements. And as you know, design build has specific legislation as to how you must conduct the design build process in California. We also reviewed against any internal controls. In other words, was there any deficiencies in the internal controls that would lead to then the selection process being biased? The good news of this audit, I think it's good news, is that in relation to in the findings for compliance to both district policies and bond program policies and statutory requirements, there was only one exception noted for district policies, and the programs for design build and formal bid complied 100% with the statutory requirements. That would be public contract code, that would be design build legislation. The one exception noted that they were not complying with their own policies had to do with the kind of quality control that they were doing when the scorers at a selection process turned in their score sheets. There was not a quality control where the build team would initial and they would verify then that they have checked the score sheets. So there was samples that we found where that didn't occur. Build has responded and now they are creating a more uniform practice of that. They're in the process of updating their policies and procedures to ensure and train their staff to ensure that that process now takes place with every selection. The audit did find, though, a number of internal control deficiencies, and that's really where the bulk of the findings is in the report. And I'll go through them. The first one is insufficient document control. There is a central document control for the bond program that is managed by Build LACCD. However, a lot of the procurement documents when we requested samples still were at either the CPM office, one of the nine CPM offices where they're involved in the selection process, and they may or may not have sent the documents to the bond program. And so we had a lot of delays due to trying to find documents. The second area was conflict of interest. Obviously, and we've discussed this several times in other audits, that there is no check that a selection committee member is not conflicted or has a conflict of interest with any of the proposers that it is evaluating.
Did you require a submission of a non-conflict of interest form?
Yes.
As a condition to being on the selection committee?
Yes.
So are you saying nobody verified that the information provided on those forms was correct?
No. Well, I'm sorry, I apologize.
No,
it
we do not have
required.
The form.
It wasn't required, but it wasn't doing it.
We're in the process of implementing, the district's in the process of implementing a process for which they can then check for conflicts
okay.
of interest.
Let me still pursue it further, and thank you for the clarification. Still, there are two possible errors now, and I want to understand. The first possible error is that people didn't fill out forms, as you point out. The second possible error is that people who filled out forms did not fill them out honestly. Were there both kinds of errors uncovered in the audit?
Well, first of all, there was no form to fill out.
The
only type of conflict of interest check would be that there was a verbal instruction given to selection committee members that the program management team reported to us. where they would say you should not have a conflict of interest if you're doing this, but there's no proof or evidence that...
So there's no written...
There's no written proof, or okay. Someone didn't self-certify and say, I've looked at the proposals, and therefore I have no conflict of interest, which
who,
is who kind
are typically
of the first...
On these, excuse me, remember, who are typically on these committees? They're not the trustees, as I understand what Nancy just explained. They're really, I don't want to say mid-level, but...